Would you join me in praying? Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'dvarei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Amen. I really like this blessing. I think it's a wonderful way to begin even a short study of the Word of God. We're called to engross ourselves in God's Word. That means to give our total attention and to immerse ourselves into the living Word, which has been given to us for instruction, for equipping, and to reveal salvation to us in every way possible. We're reading again about the life of Joseph in this week's Torah reading, and I love this part of the year when we get to dig deep into this great figure of Joseph. You remember when he was a teenager, he had a dream that he was going to rule over his brothers. They hated him for that. They ended up selling him into slavery. He was made not just a slave in Egypt, but eventually a prisoner as well. But through the years, God was working anyway, and Joseph was being positioned to rescue Egypt, and he brought an interpretation to Pharaoh's dream and helped Egypt prepare for a time of plenty that was followed by a time of lack. Our country had a time of plenty followed by some lack, and we're in the middle of it right now. But people weren't telling us to prepare for the lack. They were saying, you know what? It's just going to get better and better. We should learn something from the story of Joseph, shouldn't we? That there are times and seasons for everything. Well, Joseph had been ready to rule over his brothers when he was a teenager, but he had to learn how to serve them. And when his brothers came down to buy grain, and Joseph recognized them, they didn't recognize him. He revealed himself to them in the most poignant of ways, as we read last week. So we see this incredible maturation and development in the man Joseph, and he's not willing just to rule, he's willing to serve as well. But in this week's Torah reading, we learn one more thing, that it's important to have a heart of blessing, and Joseph needs to learn something about how to bless, and he's going to learn it from his father, from the old man who's on his deathbed and who is not in good health. And we pick up this story in Genesis chapter 48, starting in verse 8, and I want to read to you a little bit from this. It says, "Then Israel," that's Jacob, Joseph's dad, "saw Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?' Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons whom God has given me here in Egypt.' And he said, 'Well, please bring them to me and I will bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so he could not see. And then Joseph brought them very close to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, 'I had not thought that I would ever see your face, but in fact God has shown me your offspring.'" And this is a little bit funny because Jacob can't really see all that well. His vision is failing him, but he sees well enough to recognize that there are lads in the room, and he wants to know who they are. And his first response is not to complain about his own condition, but he says, "Bring them close to me. I want to bless them." So Joseph, in verse 12, brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near like this. He's just sort of pushing them in front. And then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. So Israel goes like this, not like this. And then he takes his left hand and lays it on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly because Manasseh was the firstborn. So, you know when you cross your hands like that, what do you call it, crisscross applesauce? That's what my grandchildren taught me. So there's a reversal going on because Jacob understands something. You see, it's the end of his life and he's ready to bless his own sons, but first he has to fix something in his extended family. And it's important, and he knows this, that Joseph and Joseph's descendants realize who they are, what their identity is, and what their calling is. Jacob knows that Joseph and his sons, Joseph's sons, are part of Israel. And Jacob wants to make sure they know this. And you know why this is important? Because outwardly, Joseph and his sons look like Egyptians. They dressed in Egyptian clothes. Joseph had married an Egyptian woman. Their sons were born in Egypt. They were raised in Egypt. The lads spoke Egyptian. They weren't fluent in Hebrew. It's a lot like America. Isn't it a lot of Jewish people being raised without clear identity and unsure of who they are and uncomfortable even identifying whether they're part of the Jewish people or not? And Jacob, Israel, not only intuitively but explicitly understands these boys need to be brought into full status as a son of Israel. And so his purpose was to establish that the boys are children of Israel, get this, even though their mothers are not Jewish. Now, later rabbinic law says you're a Jew if your mother is a Jew. I would not wanted to have presented that to Jacob. Because Jacob is standing on his own authority as a patriarch to do something here. And I love the way he handles this. He doesn't try to explain everything. Instead, he takes very decisive and concrete action. And by doing that, he demonstrates what reality must be. He lays his hands on his two grandsons, the sons of Joseph, and he blesses them. And this blessing, if you can get it, is not based on wise or persuasive words, but on the power of God's Spirit. It's a prophetic blessing that's born from the heart of God, and it's carried by the heart of Jacob. So God had been doing something with Jacob. Jacob received it, and now he's coming forward to deliver it prophetically. It was not one of those normal petitions, you know, that kind of prayer where you say, oh, Lord, please do this, or please do that, or I'm asking you. It has a prophetic and a creative and an authoritative aspect to it. In verse 15, it says, Israel blessed Joseph, his son, and then said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. And here the Hebrew is very confusing for anyone who is not messianic. But if you're messianic, it's not confusing at all. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Now, how is it that Jacob is calling upon the Lord and calling upon the angel at the same time? It's because the angel of the Lord is the Lord himself. And he says, bless the lads, let my name be named upon them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, this blessing follows a similar pattern of language that's used to describe how God created light. In the English, in many translations, it says, and God said, let there be light. How many of you are familiar with that? This is not the first time you've heard that. Well, the Hebrew says it a little bit differently. It's more like this, light be. And then it says, and light was. So God actually commanded the thing into existence. Yehi or, vayehi or. Light be. It's a commanding, authoritative, creative way of speaking. And in Jacob's case, many of the English translations follow the let there be light way. And they say, let the Lord bless. How many of you have something like that? May the Lord bless you, or let the Lord make you, or something like that. Well, the Hebrew is more of an imperative. It's more of a command. It's something more like this. Blessing of God be upon these lads. It's speaking with tremendous authority. The King James tries to capture it, but it's really awkward in the way it says it too. And you could read it without even noticing. It says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads. And it goes on. Well, I'll give you my rough translation as we go through this. And I want you to notice that there are three kinds of blessings that are being conveyed. And the first blessing is actually by means of Jacob who trusts God. And it's from God to the boys. And so you can translate it like this. Blessing be upon these lads by the angel who is my redeemer from all evil. But it's not a proclamation. It's not a declaration. It's an actual conveyance. Blessing be upon. Have you ever gone with your children to an ice cream shop? And you just stand up there. You don't have to explain a lot. You say, two scoops of chocolate chip. And then they do it, right? You don't have to say, I would like you to put your scooper in the chocolate chip ice cream container and make two balls and put them in a cone and serve them to my boys. You can just point to one and say, he'll have two scoops of chocolate chip, and this one will have three scoops of chocolate. And it's so. It's sort of that kind of direct language where you just speak it and someone else brings it about. It's a little awkward for us to think like this because it sounds like Jacob is just commanding God, but he's not. You see, God has earlier come to Jacob and said, I want you to do this. And it's with full authority that Jacob is conveying this blessing. It's not his own imagination or even the simple desire that he has. Yeshua talks about the way the process works like this. He said, if you abide with me and my word abides in you, then you can ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified. But it's the whole thing. If you're not abiding with the Lord, you can't ask like that. And if his word's not abiding in you, you can't ask like that. It's just presumptuous. There are two conditions. You have to spend time with God, and you have to let his word take up residence inside of you and take authority over other desires and other inputs that are available to you so that his word becomes authoritative. And that's what's happening with Jacob. And Jacob has the word of the Lord, and so he's able to say, angel who redeemed me, bless these boys. And the angel of the Lord himself says, well done. That's exactly what I wanted you to do. That's the first part. The second part is not directed specifically to the Lord, but it assumes the Lord's blessing, as all these aspects do. It's actually an intra-family issue. It's a declaration to the whole family. And I would translate it this way, call them by my name. That's what Jacob says to all who are gathered of Israel. Call them by my name. Let them be called by my name and the name of my fathers, Avraham and Yitzchak. Don't call them Egyptians. Call them by my name. I don't care how they dress. I don't care how they talk. They're mine. You see, Joseph couldn't do this for himself with his brothers. Only Jacob could do this. And then the third aspect of blessing is direct to them. Jacob looks at his grandsons and he says, you know, the English is sort of flowery. Let them grow into a great multitude in the midst of the earth. The Hebrew is more commanding and it says, grow. Grow into a great number among the earth. Grow! Grow! Grow, boys! Grow! And Jacob is blessing with a rare combination of humility and boldness. Now we pick up in verse 17. When Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And so he took hold of his father's hand to move it. So now we're getting another view of the same situation where the hands are crossed and dad is blessing the wrong ones in the wrong way. He should be putting the right hand on the older one, not on the younger one. And so Joseph takes his dad's hand to move it. You know, dad doesn't see very well. He's not thinking very clearly. And Joseph takes his hand to remove it. And Joseph says to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, I know." It's like saying, "Yeah, yeah." It's a unique way of being dismissive. "I know, my son. I know who's who. He also will become a people. And he also will be great, but truly his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations." So we see another principle at work many times. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And it's worked like this so far in Israel's history. Think about it. Isaac the younger is considered the firstborn son when it comes to the covenant. Jacob the younger is considered as the firstborn son. Joseph the younger is put in the position to bless all by serving all, just as Yeshua said. And Joseph's son, Ephraim the younger, is considered as the firstborn. It's almost as if God says, "I know what the natural order is. I know the way things are supposed to work. But I'm not stuck to that." You see, the one who makes the rules has authority over the rules. And so in this way, Joseph's sons are elevated into full status as sons of Israel. It all happens without argument, a little bit of protest, but not a big discussion, not a lot of thoughtful consideration, no attempt to convince or persuade. The authority of Jacob, Israel, the father, prevails. And these sons are elevated. They are no longer grandsons. They are now sons. They are now half-tribes, together one tribe of Israel. Genesis 48:20, "So Israel blessed the lads that day, saying, 'By you all Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh.' And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh." And to this day, we gather our sons each Friday night, and we bless them that they might also be like Ephraim and Manasseh. We're going to practice that right now. So, moms and dads, if you have a son with you, you're going to get a chance to practice this. If you have a daughter, you're going to get a chance to practice something similar. And when you think, what do you want them to be like, when you're saying, be like Ephraim and Manasseh, I think it means at least several things. Let your sons know their calling. Let your sons know their identity. And let them walk in the heritage of their father Jacob and all the patriarchs. That's what you're conveying to them. That kind of authority of personal identity, calling, and walk, so that in no way are they hindered for a lack of those things. So tonight we want to practice blessing our sons. There's a siddur nearby you, maybe in the seat in front of you or to the seat next to you. Everybody who's here, you can open up to pages 7 and 8 at the bottom of the page. So dads, moms, who are together, get your son under hand. And speak this blessing first in Hebrew. I want you to repeat word by word after me in the Hebrew and then phrase by phrase in the English. Yesimcha Elohim Ka Ephraim Vachimanasha. May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. Okay, now if you got daughters, gather them up. Lay your hands on them. If you have daughters and they're not here, you can still pray a long-distance blessing. Repeat after me. Yesimech Elohim Kasara, Rivka, Rachel, Valea. May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Amen. Hey, we've got some real little ones who not all of you have met. I want to invite them up. Oh, they probably need their parents to bring them. So we've got the Dexter House twins and the Painter Solo. Why don't you all come right up here? Eric, you can come up. Travis and Kathy. Are any of the other children here who are 2009 children? I don't think so. Some will be here tomorrow. So we have one lad. Hello, Mason. And two darling girls, Isabella and Sophie. And they are wonderful, gentle little children. Will you just extend your hands to them and let's pray God's blessing. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for their parents who love them and adore them and are devoted to them. And let them be raised in the knowledge of God and in the certainty of who they are and how they've been called to walk with you. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. You can smile at the kids if you want as they walk by. Now, there's another Shabbat tradition, which is to have husbands bless your wives. So if your wife is present and you've got one, then you can bless her. I'll ask mine to come up close. And you'll also see this blessing on pages 7 and 8. Don't worry, everyone's going to get blessed. And so I'll read in the Hebrew. Eshet chayil mi yimtza varachuk mi pninim michra batach ba lev ba'ala v'shalal lo yachsar. A woman of valor, who can find? She is worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he profits greatly thereby. Men, you can just kiss your wives. Look her in the eye and say, this is about you.
Thank you.
That one didn't get all the blessing he wanted.
He's
going to get some more from his grandmother. Okay, now everybody rise, and we'll close with the Aaronic benediction and then the Adon Olam. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.